four Super Bowls. It's like I've had a Super Bowl every day, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's been like a Super Bowl here. Thank you. Thank you again, Ellen. I appreciate you. God bless. All right. All right. Okay. You know what? This is, you know what? I'm not starstruck often. I'm not starstruck often. But sitting in front of me now is a star, because we don't understand that there is a diplomatic corps out there working on our behalf and working on your behalf, that, you know what, they see a lot that we never have to see. They deal with a lot that we never have to deal with. And because of their skills and their dedication and their service, we get to live the lifestyle we get to live in this country. And in front of me is one of those people. In front of me right now is John Bolton. John was a lawyer and a diplomat and served in several Republican administrations, and is sitting right here in front of me at the Will and Austin Show. Ambassador, thank you ever so much for coming. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to be with you.
And thank you for your service. And I'm going to ask you just a general question. How are things going here this week?
Well, I think they're going very well. I think that the convention kicked off Tuesday night was very successful. I thought Ann Romney gave a great speech, helped give insights into her husband. Nobody knows a man better than his wife, no doubt about it. And I thought the audience responded, and I've got to believe people watching on TV got a lot of insight into Mitt Romney. And then Chris Christie was, you know, Chris Christie, and thought he hit it out of the park. And the key point was, it was not bashing Obama. It was quite the opposite. It was saying, look, in my case in New Jersey, he was saying, and in the case of other Republican governors, we have tried to solve problems. We haven't blamed other people. We haven't looked at the polls. We've done what we thought was right, and we've helped to bring our state government budgets into line, help the economies. We can do this at the national level. We can fix this problem. So it was a very powerful message, and leads into the next 2 days of the convention. So if I were one of the convention organizers, I'd be very happy with the way it's gone.
I got to watch it on TV. I live here. I got to watch it on TV, and sometimes it's a little different when you're in the building. You watch on TV, and things don't come across. But I think you're right, sir. It was too late in the night. I was so excited after Chris Christie, I wanted to run around the room for a while. What do we do now? We hold up some signs. Where do we go? As you've seen things play out over the past so many years, if people think that it's hyperbole to say that this is the most important election that we've had in many, many years, you know what, that's people who say, well, that's you're being hyperbolic. It really isn't. It's not any different. Do you think that this election is really any different than anything we've had in the past maybe 30 years, 40 years?
I think it's very different. I think Obama is the most radical president we've ever had. I mean, I disagreed with Clinton. I disagreed with Carter. I wasn't impressed by Jimmy Carter's foreign policy in particular. But Obama is a very different kind of president. And let me just approach it from the national security perspective. He's the first president since Franklin Roosevelt, Republican or Democrat, who doesn't wake up every morning and have as his first thought, what threats does the United States face around the world? What should I be doing today to protect the United States from these threats? He worries about restructuring our domestic economy. And I think our adversaries around the world have sized him up. I think they see him as weak, as inattentive, as somebody comfortable with American decline, and they've adjusted their policies accordingly to take advantage of that. That's got to be detrimental. People say, oh, well, foreign policy is a very abstract issue for Americans. Not at all. If we don't have a strong American posture internationally, we're not going to have sustained economic recovery at home with global trade, investment, finance, travel, communications. And it works the other way. If we don't have a strong American economy, we can't sustain an adequate presence overseas. So a lot's at stake here for the future of the country on the very issue that most people think is the prime issue, and that's the economy.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that because we're looking, I don't know. We're looking at this whole Arab Spring thing. Now we're looking at countries like Egypt, and it's obvious that, you know, I don't know. I'm not nearly as experienced as you are, but when Egypt was crumbling, I thought, well, the only group that's ready to fill that vacuum is the Muslim Brotherhood. nobody else is ready to go.
No, and that's exactly what happened. You know, Hosni Mubarak said for 30 years, if I go, the Muslim Brotherhood will take over. And I'm not going to sit here and argue that Mubarak was a Jeffersonian Democrat, because obviously he wasn't. But he was on our side on the issues that we needed him to be on our side. And while everybody poo-pooed him as just justifying his repression of the Brotherhood, it turned out he was right. Now we've got a situation where Israel feels threatened by this new government, where Mohamed Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood member who was elected president, is replacing generals in the Egyptian army with Muslim Brotherhood sympathizers. You know, we have given billions to the Egyptian military over the years. We've considered them a bulwark of support for the United States in the Middle East. And I'm very worried that in a very short period of time, Morsi can turn this whole thing around. And you'd have a radical Islamicist president running a military with very sophisticated weapons right on Israel's border.
Speaking of that, and I know there's been a lot of people yelling and screaming about what Israel's reaction is going to be when it concerns Egypt and when it concerns Iran. How do you see that playing out? Do you see that playing out in a peaceful way in the short term? Because I don't believe, I don't, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think Israel's real comfortable with any support they'd get from the United States and our president right now.
Well, I think they're very worried about Iran's progress toward nuclear weapon status. We've got a new report coming out from the International Atomic Energy Agency that's going to report Iran stepping up its enrichment of uranium. We don't know exactly when Iran will be able to produce a nuclear weapon. Our intelligence isn't perfect, but it's not long. Although the Obama administration says repeatedly all options are on the table for stopping Iran from getting nuclear weapons, honestly, people don't believe that. The Israelis don't believe it. Worse, the Iranians don't believe it. So that's why the spotlight is on Israel and whether Israel will do what it's done in the case of Iraq and Syria in years gone by and destroy nuclear programs in the hands of their adversaries. I don't pretend to have any inside information, but I know that the Israelis do look at an Iran with nuclear weapons as an existential threat to the state of Israel, and it would be a complete change in the balance of power in the Middle East. Our Arab friends in the region feel threatened by an Iranian nuclear weapon, and if Iran gets nuclear weapons, so will Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, perhaps others, meaning that this incredibly volatile region will become much more dangerous.
And in that... Is this administration looking at the ties between Iran and Russia, places like Venezuela with Hugo Chavez? Because again, I don't even pretend to be a foreign policy expert here, but
you're right on target. You're right on target. Look, this is people say, well, why Venezuela and Iran? I'll give you two reasons. Number one, Venezuela has the second largest deposits of uranium ore of any country in the world other than Canada. Number two, Iran has its largest embassy in Caracas. You say, why Caracas? Because they're laundering money in violation of U.S. and U.N. sanctions through Venezuela's financial system, which has a lot of money that pours into it from Venezuela's international oil sales. It's a great place to go to do that. So cooperation with Russia, with Venezuela, with China, with other countries helps Iran evade economic sanctions. It allows them to continue to make progress on nuclear weapons, and it's a real threat to the United States. Have you heard Obama talk about that recently? No, it's a case study of a failure to demonstrate American leadership, and we're going to pay the price for it.
How, if there happens to be a change in administration, how long will it be before, I'm trying to be positive here, how long will it be before the rest of the world, the people that we've just talked about, change policy and change soon? Because I believe, like you said, they're watching. They're watching us to see how we behave just before they develop their own, redevelop their policies. How long? Will it be one of those things like after Carter leaves and Reagan takes office, the plane takes off and hostages come home that day?
Yeah. Well, I think it'll be pretty quick in some respects, but much harder in other respects. I think people recognize Romney's a very different president, much more in the Ronald Reagan tradition of peace through strength. I noticed the other day some official Chinese papers criticized Romney for being too tough on China policy. What a shame! But you know, we've had years of decline in military budgets. The Obama administration has cut $1.5 trillion out already just in 3 years. So you don't dig yourself out of the hole that we've been put in overnight. But I think the impressions will change very quickly, and then President Romney would have to set about the hard work of changing the reality on the ground. But I think people will understand very quickly this is not a clone of Barack Obama.
I understand. I've got a folks who are asking a question in the chat room. Your thoughts on the Russian submarines in the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, this was a report by Bill Gertz, a very good national security reporter, and I think what it demonstrates is that after having pulled out of Cuba, pulled their radar base out, really Russia has no national interest in being in Cuba. That was a relic from the Cold War. So the fact they're back now is a way of Obama being tested by Putin. And, of course, we didn't respond to it. So this is the way that the Russians and others who are potential adversaries look to see how tough the American president is and whether he responds to provocations. And the answer, unfortunately, is that in the Obama administration, not only do we not respond, we're still out there pressing the reset button, which has made concessions to the Russians in areas that we shouldn't have made concessions in, hasn't gotten anything in return for it.
So, and that was my friend Kenneth from D.C.
Uh-huh.
asking that question. So this show's about action from regular people, because a lot of times we get a lot of information in, and a lot of folks are always saying, well, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? How can I make this better? Mr. Bolden, how do you think that the average person, in their average understanding, can affect these things that we've talked about in a positive way?
Look, I think Americans are very pragmatic when it comes to foreign policy. They're not going to get involved in the intricacies. They've got too many important things to do, their families, their jobs, entirely understandable. But what they expect from their political leaders is people who are willing to go out there and defend American interests around the world, and people they can have confidence in, people who are leaders. I really think national security is a surrogate for leadership. And we are in the campaign political season. This is the time for citizens to say to people who want to be elected to the House or the Senate or the presidency, we want to know where you are on these issues. Are you going to stand up for America and protect our interests around the world, or are you not? And they can make their own judgment accordingly. But I think even when we focus on the economy, people should understand the importance of the international arena to getting that economy going again.
One more question, and I have to think about this, because Africa for me has been a concern for me, because there's genocide going on in Africa, and it's been going on, if I can use the word Holocaust, there's a Holocaust that's been continuing in Africa that's been completely out of the eyes and ears of the American public. And this administration has been completely silent on that. Isn't that sort of behavior that's happening in those countries? Is that a hotbed for what we talked about from the Middle East moving into those countries?
No, absolutely. You can see in the case of Somalia, which is a country that's come apart, you've got the al-Shabaab element of al-Qaeda that's taken root there, very hard to dislodge them. You've got Sudan, run by a radical Islamicist regime, committing genocide in the past in Darfur, in the South Sudan. You've got discontent inside Nigeria with the radical Islamicist Boko Haram engaging in terrorism. And, you know, it's remarkable to me, I guess I'll go ahead and say it, that Obama has not done as much in Africa as George W. Bush did. Cared about the HIV/AIDS epidemic and a number of other things, and really paid attention to some of the needs on the African continent. I think it would benefit the United States enormously to return to the level of attention that the Bush administration gave it.
Because it seems if you take care of those problems first of all, they're less expensive to take care of, and you can stay on a humanitarian level and not necessarily on a military level.
America has a lot of friends in Africa. We're not working with them in ways that we could that would benefit them, benefit us too.
Well, that's awesome. You know, this has been one